You know, people are, there's probably no easy field to work in. People are hard and materialistic, you know, probably everywhere. But there's people out there with prepared hearts. You know, there's people out there that God has worked on and prepared, and God can bring those people to us. We're convinced of that. He's brought us a few over there to work with. One in particular, right at the end as we were getting ready to go back, and thought we had a translator, and ended up we didn't have a translator, and God brought us somebody with a prepared heart that was ready to receive his word and just be humble and obedient, and filled that need in a very short time. And so that was a great encouragement to our faith, and we always appreciate your prayers, but as you pray, please remember these people. You know, they're over there now. Most of them are very young in the Lord, and they have been seeing some trials and temptations. And so far, they've come through those trials and temptations. They've made the right decisions, and they're all still faithfully coming to church and serving the Lord. And we pray for that, but we know that there's an adversary who would love to just tear up this work, and would love to tear those people up and send them away. You know, not that they can be separated from God, but would love to take them off of the path that they have started down. So please pray for those people. They need our prayers. I appreciated the song, the special. I really like that song, because prayer is so important. You know, we can get up and preach, and we can go out and witness, but if we're not praying, then we won't see the results. We won't see fruit, eternal fruit. So please continue to pray, not only for us, but for those people. And we would appreciate your prayers over the next, 20 hours or so, especially for good weather. Driving is not that bad if the weather's not bad. So I guess they forecasted a storm, but we pray that won't happen. This evening, I'd like to speak about the greatest work that there is in this world. Whatever work you all do, and there's probably many different professions, many different occupations represented here this evening. There's probably many different ideas in the heads and hearts of these young people as to what they want to do or what they plan to do in the future, but whatever work we do for the sake of making a living in this world, there's another work, a greater work, far greater than that work for temporal things that all of us need to make number one in our lives. And I thank God that God helped me to understand that when I was a child. And so I enjoy preaching to young people, because they can make decisions that will affect the rest of their lives. So let's pray, and we'll look at this subject this evening. Oh God, I thank you for this church and for their faithfulness to your word and to your command to take the gospel to all people. And I thank you for the part that they've had in our ministry. And now, God, I just pray that this service would be something that you could use to really make a permanent change in somebody's heart. So I pray, God, for your help to preach, and I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to hearts and to tell each one what it is that they need to do, if they need to make a change, make a decision, Lord, make that clear. And I pray that your will would be done in the preaching and in every heart this evening. Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was raised like, I assume these young people are, most of them, if not all of them, that are here this evening. My dad and mom were Christians and went to church, took me to church with them every Sunday. And so from a child, I heard all the stories that were in the that we read in the Bible, and from a child I understood salvation. I remember my Sunday school teacher when I was 7-8 years old. I don't know how old she was, but her hair was completely white, but she was still faithfully serving the Lord every Sunday in that Sunday school class and in that junior church class, and she helped me. God through her. Help me to understand, first of all, salvation, that all have sinned, first of all, and come short of the glory of God. And I understood, maybe, of course, at that time, I couldn't have explained the doctrine of depravity in detail to anybody, but I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that I didn't have all of God's righteousness. I didn't always do right. I did wrong many times, either by word or by action or in my heart, in my thoughts. I understood that I hadn't, I'd come short of his glory. I didn't have that righteousness that he has. I understood that I didn't have, that I wasn't all to him that he was to me, that he is to us. I didn't have his goodness. We were at a missions conference last week in New York, and I really liked what the preacher said one time. He said, there's nothing you could do this evening or any time that would make God love you any more than he does already. You know, that's a precious thought. And but he went on and he said, there's nothing you could do to make God love you any less than he does right now. He's good to us. And you think of how many times we let him down. You think of how many times every day we fail him. And we can't give back that goodness that he shows to us. We don't have the goodness of God. We've come short of his glory. We don't have the strength that God has, the power that God has. He created our universe. That's understandable that we couldn't do that. We couldn't make, I was just reading the thing, somebody said we couldn't even make a little grain of sand out of nothing. We just don't have that ability. God made this whole universe out of nothing. But beyond that, we don't have the strength to be holy. You know, we want to do right, many of us. We want to think the right thoughts. We want to be clean in our thoughts and in our hearts. We want to always say the right thing to people. We want to always do the right thing, but we can't, can we? We don't even have the strength to control ourselves, but God does. And I'm sure thankful for that. If he didn't have that strength, I'm sure he would have, you know, his anger would have consumed me a long time ago. But God has strength that we don't. We've come short of his glory. And because of this, because we have sinned, we are, from our youth, without Christ, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, also chapter 2, without God in this world. And that's a sad, sad thing that we'll look at more in a little bit. We are without God in the world. I was far from God in this world, not knowing my Creator, not knowing my God. I understood that. But I understood also that I could believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would take away my sin, and he would make me a child of God. And as a child, I understood that, and I trusted Jesus. I trusted Jesus to forgive my sin and to make me a child of God. Amen. And praise God, he did that. And so I understood salvation as a child in my Sunday school class. So Sunday school teachers, take heart and believe that God can use you to bring eternal results, to bring eternal decisions in the hearts of these young people. But it didn't stop there in that Sunday school class. Another thing that God helped me to understand through that teacher was the fact that my life is not my own. My life is God's. You know, again, in Ephesians 2, it tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, God knows every one of us. Amen? He knows us. Not only does he know us, but he has a particular job that he wants every one of us to do. Okay, he wants to create in us a new heart that longs for God, that wants to be righteous, that wants to do his will. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He has something for every one of you to do. And I couldn't tell you what that is. I can tell you one thing. He wants you to be righteous. Okay, but the particular work that you, especially all you young people, that still have your way in life to choose, I couldn't tell you what that is, but God has a way prepared for you. I can tell you that. Yes, and it's exciting. You know, life lived according to God's will is exciting. My wife always says there's never a dull moment in Mongolia. There's adventures. We've been hearing from the Riches about their adventures. The young couple that's over there filling in for us. They've had some adventures. They had adventures before we left. It's exciting. It's exciting. And as a child, as I heard about the characters that come out in the Bible, whether it was Joseph or Daniel or whoever it was, it seemed exciting to me. And I wondered what will happen in my life? What kind of adventures will I have as I live for God and do his will? In what ways will I see his power manifested in my life? And as a child, I decided, well, I'm God's. I'm his child. He made me to begin with, and then he redeemed me and again made me his own. My life belongs to him. And I gave it to him. And I was willing and ready to do his will. And that's the first thing that I want to challenge, especially again, you young people this evening. Do you understand? If you're saved, if you've made the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, that you are God's workmanship, created anew in Christ Jesus. For the good works that he has for you to accomplish for him. And have you given yourself to him? You know, you have ideas, especially maybe the older young people, the teens, maybe getting ready to graduate from high school and have some ideas in your head about what you want to do. Maybe you've already decided what kind of a profession you want to pursue and what kind of work you want to do. But have you first given yourself to God? Have you asked him first, Lord, this is my interest, this is the thing that I want to do, but what would you have me to do? Is that what you want me to do, God? I'm ready to do whatever you have for me to do. Have you told God that? Well, if not, that's something you need to get settled this evening. All right, give yourselves to God. Dedicate your life to him. And dedicating your life to God is dedicating yourself to that greatest work. You know, first of all, we have to dedicate ourselves to this greatest work that I spoke of earlier. Even if you're not called to be a missionary or a pastor or a preacher or a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife, this you need, first of all, to dedicate yourself to this work. And the person that's called to be a missionary or a pastor or a preacher has to dedicate themselves to this work. What is that work? Ephesians chapter 2, we've been reading out of that. It says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins in Ephesians 2:1. I'm just picking out some words out of that verse. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Okay, this is the need. Okay, we were without God, without Christ, without God. Again, words that I quoted out of Ephesians chapter 2 before. What does that mean? Without dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, we have to understand reality. We lose track of reality and we get on the wrong track. All we think about is material things. You know, the Mongolians, that's all they desire. Some of them are religious. Most of them are religious. Oh, they believe in gods. They believe in spirits. And they pray to God. Oh, they don't pray like we do. They go to the temple and pay money to have a prayer said for them. But they believe in God. They're religious. But all they believe in God for, all they pray to God for, is for material things. You know, they say that there's a heaven, but they're not really worried about living in heaven. All they're worried about is getting the things that they want right here on this earth. And that their thinking is all messed up. And they make decisions based on that kind of thinking, and it messes their lives up. And they have all kinds of problems that they wouldn't have if they understood reality. And Christians mess their lives up when they forget the truth and all that there's a God in heaven, and we're all going to have to stand before him one day. And there's a heaven. There is a heaven that we will live in, that those of us that are saved and reap for all of eternity the results of what we did here on this earth. Christians, when they forget that and only think about the material things, also their thinking gets messed up. And they make wrong decisions and mess their lives up. Oh, young people, listen to these older people that maybe have made those kind of mistakes and try to warn you so that you don't make the same kind of mistakes. Sin has consequences. Wrong decisions have consequences. The great need. People are dead in trespasses and sins. They were created by God, the one true God. They were created by him to know him. You know, we were created to glorify our Creator. And how do we glorify our Creator? What does that mean except to see, to experience his goodness and his power and give him glory for that? You know, as I thought about this, I thought about sometimes we have here in America at the fair or something, a pie baking contest, you know, and there's judges that will, we could say that they glorify the maker of the best pie. You know, they give them a ribbon and say, oh, this person can really bake pies now. You guys need to have some of this pie. But how do they come to their decision? You know, by tasting all those pies. And I would imagine that's pretty fun work. Tasting all those pies, you know, and to glorify God, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And thereby glorify him. Thereby come to the place where you have words of praise for God and a testimony of what God has done in your life. We're created to know God, but people don't know God. You know, the vast majority of people in this world don't know their Creator. They're lost. It just drifting without knowing reality, without knowing the goodness, without tasting the goodness of the Lord. Created by God, but don't know him. Living in the world that God created. Okay? Men live in the world that God created. And God created this world to be a nice place. Okay, we read out of the book of Genesis. All of us have read it, I'm sure. When God finished his creation, he looked and he saw that everything was good. Okay? It was all good. God didn't make a world full of hardness and difficulties to make us suffer in it. No, he made a good world so that we could see his goodness. God created the world, but then for man's sin cursed the world. And now, we that live in this world that God created, we're supposed to be able to enjoy it. And we can. You know, there's many enjoyable things in life. That's why Christians pray before they eat. You know, we remember this food that we're about to enjoy is something God made for us. And we don't have to eat just the same thing every day. God didn't give us just one kind of food like he gave the Israelites in the wilderness for a while. No, he gave us many different kinds of food. You know, we can enjoy many different things. Our kids are tasting a lot of things that they hadn't tasted, you know, over in Mongolia. They'd only heard about them. No, we can enjoy God's creation, but we also suffer now in God's creation. Okay, we suffer many things. Death. Death is a reality here in this world. Pain is a reality. Sickness is a reality. Many different kinds of hardship that we have to go through in this world that God created. Okay, it wasn't meant to be that way. It wasn't meant to be that way. But because of sin, men are now dead in this world. We are created to be like God. Okay, created to be righteous, like God. Created to fellowship with God. Created to be of one mind and of one heart with God. But men have become his enemy. Day by day, sinning against him. Day by day, rising up against God. And by the way, understand this, when you sin, you rise up against God. You sin against God and become his enemy. Okay, and men have become God's enemy, going against what God is trying to do. Dead in trespasses and sins. Created to be with God, but destined to be apart from him for all of eternity. There's nothing sadder than that. There's nothing more tragic than that. This, unfortunately, is reality. In 1 John 5:19, okay, we know that we are of God. Amen. Praise God. We that are saved are of God. But the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, this is reality. This is the need that we need to remember. And again, John recorded Jesus' words, words that we all know and can quote. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This is God's program now. In this world that has fallen from the state that God created it in. I don't know if you realize this, but this Bible, this book that we read, the Bible is truly a miraculous book, different from any other book in the world. As I have been over there in Mongolia, and you know, people here in America basically accept the Bible. The people that don't accept it at all are getting to be more and more. But people accept the Bible. Many people do. They understand it to be the Word of God, the God that created our universe. In Mongolia, there's no such understanding. There's no such understanding. People have never read the Bible. They don't know who wrote it. They don't know where it came from. They don't know what it's about. They just know that it's the book of... some of them don't even know that it's the book about Jesus, that tells us about Jesus. But that's the thing. You know, this book that was written, the majority of it, written before Jesus, many hundreds of years before Jesus, is all about Jesus. Amen. You know, from cover to cover, it's written about Jesus. To reveal beforehand the Savior. That was to save us out of death. How many prophecies we over in Mongolia? Just, you know, I talk about the prophecies that are in the Bible and talk about how it's a miraculous book. And then it occurred to me a while ago, well, I ought to just, if that's true, I ought to give our people those prophecies and let them know exactly what God said and how it came to pass. And so every Sunday night, we just take one prophecy and look at it. And, well, I forget when we started, but it's been a while back. And every Sunday night, we're not even halfway through them. Not just one or two words that weren't even really clear. No. Many, many, many things. Detailed things, specific things that God said was going to happen, and they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Okay, He is the center of history. The central event in history was Jesus' life, and the central event of the Bible is, of course, also Jesus and what He has done for us and what He's going to do in the future. This is reality, folks. And this is the work, okay? We need to come out of the world and give ourselves to God. That's the only way that we can redeem the time that we have to live on this earth. If we don't do that, we're wasting the time that we have to live on this earth. If all we're living for is just to get food and clothes and a place to live, and then on top of that, having some fun on our time off, we're making a horrible waste of our time here on earth. It's all going to be forgotten. All of that, even if we're able to do what we want to do, it's all going to be forgotten, and it's all going to seem to us a horrible waste of time if we're saved when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If we're not saved when we stand before that great white throne. And that will be a tragedy because there will be nothing we can do about it. At that time, you know, everybody in the world will understand the truth at that time. Unfortunately, some will understand that they've understood the truth too late. But we don't have to do that, amen? We're hearing the Word of God this evening. We have the Word of God in our hands and we can read it. And we can come out of the world and give ourselves to God. And as we... as we close here, I want to look at that, the work, you know, this greatest work. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Yeah. If you're saved in here this evening, you are an ambassador for Christ. Amen. You are one, though you were born here on the earth, as it were, sent from heaven to these people that are dead in trespasses and sins to tell them about what reality is, to tell them about this Savior that came to save us from death. And again, I tell you that the most important thing that you need to get settled right now, if you haven't already got it settled, is that you're going to give yourself to this work of being an ambassador for Christ. And that means, now right now, maybe these young people, they're not going to go right away to the mission field, or they're not going to go right away and maybe begin preaching or take a church to pastor, but you can give yourself to the work even right now. And what does that mean? Of course, we need to be good followers of Jesus Christ in being righteous. Oh, folks, it's so important for us to be righteous in this world, in this wicked world. Ephesians 2:10, I keep quoting from that verse, but it says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, good works. We need to give ourselves, first of all, to good works. Don't be influenced by the world. Don't want to be like the world. Don't want to just see what it's like to do the things that people that don't know God do. No, it won't bring you happiness. It'll only bring trouble. It'll only bring regret. Don't be influenced by the world. Don't want to look like the world. Don't want to do the things the world does. Don't want to talk like the world. Be separate. Be God's people. Be righteous. Give yourselves to righteousness, first of all. Giving yourselves to that work of being an ambassador for Christ is going to mean, first of all, giving yourself to righteousness. Don't be ashamed to be righteous. Secondly, it means that we're going to take the news of Jesus Christ to to people that don't know. Again, Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we beseech you, okay, we beseech you, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Okay, this is the message that we have to take to people. That's the only way to get them, people that are dead, alive, quickened. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. This is the only way to get people quickened, to get them alive, to get them to where they know their Creator, to where they have a relationship with Him and can taste His goodness. This is the greatest work. Bringing the news of Jesus Christ to people that are dead in trespasses and sins. So give yourself to that work. Pastor just announced that Saturdays 9 to 11, is that what you said? There's soul winning? Are you planning to come? Do you come to soul winning regularly? If not, why not? If not, you're not giving yourself to this greatest work. Surely, if it's really the greatest work, we can make time for it. All right, even in this busy society that we live in. If you're too busy to go soul winning regularly, you're too busy. Something not as important is taking an important place that it shouldn't. Okay, he said, if you can't come Saturday 9 to 11, there's other opportunities. All right, there's other opportunities. We got to make it happen. We got to give that time to God to take the news of Jesus Christ to people. That's it. That's the main work that we need to give ourselves to. Whatever work you do for temporal things, whatever work you're planning to do or preparing to do, make this work the central work in your life, the most important work in your life. Make time for it. Give yourself to that work. And also in that work, again, as I look at the slides, I'm reminded of the people over there and know kind of what they're going through. And it's hard to be far away from them. You know, it's hard to not be there to help them, to make the right decisions and to get through the trials and the tests that they're going through. And part of our work is to help others to be righteous. Okay, people that are saved, people that come to church, to help them to be righteous, to strengthen the feeble hands, the feeble knees and the hands that hang down, okay? That's part of our work. And so not only for our own sakes, but for others' sakes, we need to be righteous. Okay, if you're not righteous yourselves, how are you going to help somebody else to be righteous? Okay, and a lot of the help that you're going to be to other people is not doing the wrong things that they're tempted to do. Your example will be an encouragement to people. Will be will strengthen other people. A strong example of righteousness, and of course, teaching. I hope I'm sure there's many people in here that teach or preach in a Sunday school or in a junior church. You know, that's the work. That's part of the work. And all you young people, when you think about what you're going to do when you get older, that ought to be a part of it. You know, serving in your church. Now there are those that teach and preach God's word to you. Well, it ought to be your ambition to become one of those people later in life. This is part of the work. To build up his church. Okay, the church of Jesus Christ. To build up that church ought to be the central, most important purpose, or most important purposes in our lives. So I ask you tonight, have you understood what the greatest work, the most important work in this world is? And have you given yourself to it? Okay, have you given yourself to God that if he wants you to go to Mongolia, or any of the other places that's represented by these flags in here? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to give up the nice things that we have here in America? And maybe suffer a little bit to take the news of Jesus Christ to people that have never heard, that have never even held a Bible in their hands. If not, why not give yourself to God tonight? Why not give yourself to God from this day to this greatest work? Let's pray. Oh God, I thank you once again for giving an opportunity to me as a child to hear of Jesus Christ and to hear of this greatest work, and to help me, God, and that you help me to give myself to that work. And now, O God, through my efforts, through my wife's efforts, through our family, Lord, you have begun to bring out those greater works that you spoke of. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help some people in here tonight. There's bound to be some people that haven't given themselves to you. Well, I pray, God, that tonight these young people would give themselves to you. And I pray, God, that if there's some in here tonight that haven't been giving themselves to that greatest work, that they would give themselves to it, that they would determine that from now on they're going to make time to take the gospel to people, that they're going to be righteous. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help some tonight to give themselves to you fully into that greatest work. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name.